Read the Srimad Bhagavatam 11, chapter 7, verse 18.
Bhavantam
anavadyam ananta
param
sapagyam
isvaram
akunta
vikunta
vishnyam
nirvinna
diya
aham
u
e
Vrijana,
Abhitatto,
Narayanam,
Narasakam,
Saranam,
Prabhaje,
Tasma Bhavanta Manavajam Ananta Param, Savagyam Ishvaram Akunta Vikunta Dishnyam. Nirvinadiraham uhe vrijanavitatto. Narayanam narasakam saranam prapadye. Tasmad.
Therefore,
Bhavantam,
unto you,
Amabhadyam,
perfect,
Anantaparam,
unlimited,
Savagyam,
omniscient,
Ishvaram,
personality of
Godhead,
Kunta,
undisturbed by any force,
Vikunta,
spiritual
force,
Dishnyam,
personal
abode,
Vinna,
feeling
renounced,
he,
my
mind,
hum,
I,
who,
hey,
O Lord,
Vrijana,
material distress,
Abhitapta,
tormented,
Narayanam,
Narayana,
Narasakam,
friend of the infinitesimal
living entity.
Sharanam
Prapaje,
I approach to take
shelter.
Translation, therefore, O Lord, feeling weary of material life and tormented by its distresses,
I now surrender
unto you
because you are
the perfect master.
You
are the unlimited,
all-knowing,
Supreme
Personality of
Godhead,
whose spiritual
abode in Vaikuntha
is free from all
disturbances.
In fact,
you are known as
Narayana,
the true friend
of all living
beings.
Therefore, no one
can claim to be
a self-made
man because everyone
works with the body
and mind ordered
by material
nature.
By the laws
of nature, there is
always anxiety and
material existence and
terrible tragedies
periodically
harass the conditioned souls.
Here Uddhava
points out that
only Sri Krishna,
the Personality of Godhead,
is a proper master,
friend, and
shelter
for the
conditioned souls.
We may be
attracted by the good
qualities for a particular
man or
demigod,
but we may
later discover
discrepancies
in that
person's behavior.
Therefore,
Krishna is described
as anavadyam.
There are no
discrepancies in the
personal conduct
or character of the
Personality of
Godhead.
He is eternally
faultless.
We may
faithfully serve
a master, father,
demigod, but
when it is time for
us to
receive our reward
for faithful service,
the master may
die.
Therefore,
Lord Krishna is here
described as
Ananta Param,
which
indicates that he is not
limited by
time
or space.
The word
Anta
indicates
termination of
time, and Par
indicates a
spatial
termination.
Therefore,
Ananta Param
means
the Lord is
not limited by
time or space,
and thus
always
dutifully
rewards
his faithful servants.
And if we
serve someone other than
the Personality of God,
our so-called
master may forget our
service and become
ungrateful.
Therefore,
Lord Krishna is
described here as
Savagyam,
omniscient.
He can never
forget a
service for his
devotee,
and therefore
he's never ungrateful.
In fact,
it says that Lord Krishna
does not remember the
faults of the devotees,
but only
the sincere service
they have
rendered.
A further
disadvantage in
serving anyone besides
Krishna is that
when we are in
danger, our master
may not be able to
protect us.
If we take
shelter of our
nation, the nation may be
destroyed in war.
If we take shelter of our family, they may also die. And as described in the Vedic literature, even the demigods are sometimes defeated by the demons. But since Lord Krishna is described here as Ishvara, or the Supreme Controller, there is no danger of his being overcome or even impeded by any other power. Thus, Lord Krishna's promise of protection to his devotees is firmly valid. If we do not serve the personality of God, we will not know the ultimate result of our service. But here Lord Krishna is described as Akunta Vikunta Vishnu. Lord Krishna has an internal abode called Vaikuntha, and that abode is never disturbed by anything. The faithful servants of Lord Krishna will certainly go back to Godhead, back home for an eternal life of bliss and knowledge in the personal abode of the Lord. However, since even the demigods, and what to speak of insignificant human beings, are subject sooner or later to annihilation, what ultimate benefit can be derived from serving them? Buddha describes his personal situation as nirvandi and vrijana abhitapta. In other words, Sridhava states that he is exhausted and discouraged by the contradictions and anguish of material life. He has been forced, therefore, to become humble and surrender to the lotus feet of Krishna, a personal friend of every living entity. In the material world, a great man does not have time for insignificant men. But although the Lord is the greatest person, he sits in the heart of every living entity. Thus, he is most merciful. Lord Krishna is the ultimate shelter of even Nara, or the Lord's Purusha expansion, who creates the material world. The living entity is called Nara, and the source of this material situation is Nara, or Mahavishnu. The word Narayana indicates that even Mahavishnu finds his shelter in Krishna, who is certainly supreme. Although our consciousness is presently contaminated by sinful propensities, if we follow the example of Sri Uddhava and take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, everything can be rectified. Taking shelter of Krishna means taking shelter of devotional service to Krishna and obeying Him. Lord Krishna demands this in Bhagavad Gita, and if we comply with the order of the Lord, our life can become fully auspicious and successful. Sooner than we expect, we may, by Krishna's mercy, enter the kingdom of God for eternal life of bliss and knowledge. Translation: therefore, O Lord, feeling weary of material life and tormented by its distresses, I now surrender unto you because you are the perfect master. You are the unlimited, all-knowing personality of Godhead, whose spiritual abode in Vaikuntha is free from disturbances. And in fact, you are known as Narayana, the true friend of all living beings. So this is a statement of Uddhava. Uddhava is considered to be a very intimate friend of Krishna. Outside of Raja in Mathura and Dwarka, Uddhava takes the role of a very intimate associate of Krishna, and is famous because he accompanies Krishna everywhere. And he was also sent to Vrindavan to deliver the message to the gopis. And he was also able to witness the exalted status of Mahabhava in Radha. And he also was able to understand what it was. Huh? And he was able to convey the greatness of such devotees to the people of Mathura. So he was actually trusted by Krishna to a high degree because of his appreciation of and realization in devotional service. So therefore, he is considered a very, very close associate of Krishna. He actually even looked like Krishna. So when the gopis saw him, thought, maybe Krishna is here. So he was a very, very wonderful person. And when Krishna disappeared, then Uddhava, because he was so attached to him, he followed him. And as Krishna was about to disappear, then he requested Krishna to take him with him. But Krishna instead gave him instructions and told him to stay for some time. So this, of course, is also mentioned in the third canto, where Vidura and Uddhava speak for some time.
after that. And then Uddhava goes to Bandukashram after that. So Krishna had a special mission for Uddhava, and therefore he could not leave immediately. But later he would join the Lord. So Uddhava also is a Nitya Siddha devotee of the Lord. Just as Arjuna is a Nitya Siddha, so Uddhava also is Nitya Siddha. So we cannot expect any fault or any illusion in these devotees. So when we see in the Bhagavad Gita that Arjuna is overcome with lamentation and doesn't seem to know that the Atma is different from the body and the Atma is eternal, this is not regular illusion, because he cannot forget like ordinary living entities. He cannot be in ignorance like ordinary living entities. So if Arjuna becomes bewildered, that is not the maya of the material world that is affecting him. He can never be touched by that maya. So it is only the will of the Lord that Arjuna falls into such bewilderment. Similarly, Parikshit. Parikshit was a great devotee from childhood. And he was also a great king. And he controlled the senses. And he was knowledgeable of Dharma. And he was charitable to Brahmins. And then suddenly, when he went to the forest hunting, he became very thirsty. And then when he saw the sage who didn't respect him, he insulted him. In spite of the fact that he was the worshipper of Brahmins and he controlled the senses, etc., he insulted the Brahmin because he was thirsty. So that again is not ordinary maya. That also is will of the Lord. Why the Lord wills the devotees fall into illusion? In the case of Arjuna, Bhagavad Gita was spoken. In the case of Parikshit, Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken. So this is all Krishna's arrangement. So similarly, Uddhava here is saying that he is affected by the problems of the material world, the distresses of the material world, and he's suffering greatly. Vrijana Abhitapta. But, as I said, he's also Nitya Siddha devotee. They're all completely fixed in the Supreme Lord. So how can they suffer from the problems of the material world? So he also is not really suffering. Whatever misery he's in is only a bewilderment caused by the Supreme Lord. Again, why? Because in this 11th canto, most of the canto is the teachings of Krishna to Uddhava before he disappears. So this is called the Uddhava Gita. This is, we have the Bhagavad Gita spoken to Arjuna, so we have the Uddhava Gita in which the Lord speaks to Uddhava. And we'll find that there's some similarity also between these two texts. We see in Bhagavad Gita that there is Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Sangha Yoga, and Bhakti Yoga. And Bhakti Yoga is considered supreme. And we'll find in the Uddhava Gita again, Krishna discusses Karma, Jnana, Asanga, and Bhakti. So the same subjects are covered again. And of course Krishna points out the superiority of Bhakti again. So we'll say it's quite similar to the Bhagavad Gita in its content. So whereas Bhagavad Gita was spoken during the Kurukshetra War, somewhere in the middle of Krishna's life, this Uddhava Gita is spoken when Krishna is about to disappear, so the time is a little different. So he's more or less repeating the same instructions again for the people of the world. So therefore we should never think of Uddhava as being an ordinary living entity subject to the distresses of ordinary people, even though he just states that here as if he is some conditioned soul tormented by material energy, and suddenly he develops a distaste for material life. Nirvindati means suddenly he's become detached from this
material world because of experiencing all the problems. So he wants to give up the material world and practice spiritual life. So that is his own statement here, but we cannot take it literally because he is eternally fixed in spiritual consciousness. But what does he state here? He states his surrender to the Supreme Lord. Just as at the beginning of the second chapter, Arjuna also says, "I surrender unto you, Krishna. You are my teacher. Please instruct me." Tisyaste sadhi mam pam prapannam. I'm surrendered unto you. You please give me instructions. So this is similar here, where Uddhava is saying, "Saranam prapadyate. I surrender unto you." Uddhava, in making his statement, he glorifies the Supreme Lord by showing his different qualities, explaining his different powers, which shows that he has understanding of the Supreme Lord. And so the whole list of qualities like Pandavadya, Anantapala, Masapragyam, Vishwarama, Kunta, Vikunta, Vishnyam, Narayanam, Narasakam. These are all descriptions of Krishna. So, first we have the word Anavadyam, which means faultless or perfect. He cannot be criticized in any way by anybody. No one can find any fault in him. So that is the nature of the Supreme Lord. He is not touched by material nature. Anything in the material world has creation, destruction, sattva, raja, tamo, guna. It has got material qualities which are faulty and subject to destruction. Supreme Lord is beyond the material world, so his qualities are perfect. Of course, you can say that Jivas also are beyond material energy because they are Atma. But we see that some of the Atmas make mistakes, so they're not so perfect after all. They're suffering in the material world because of their desire to be separate from the Supreme Lord. So they make mistakes. So the Lord is in no case subject to any faults at all. And there's no possibility of him falling in the material world. Of course, we have Nityasiddhas like Uddhava. So they also don't make mistakes. So they're also on the Madhyama. They cannot be criticized in any way. They'll never fall into the material maya because this is the will of the Supreme Lord. However, there is an apparent fault. Because here we see that Arjuna thinks, "Oh, I am suffering in this material world. I am..." I'm subject to the material energy. And similarly, Arjuna, who's also Nitya Siddha devotee, is saying, "Oh, I'm bewildered. I'm Vimuda. I don't know what I'm doing here. I'm confused about my duty. Please instruct me." So we say, see, Arjuna's got some fault. Uddhava's got some fault. Parikshit's got some fault. Huh? But they don't, but the Lord can do this. So there's apparent fault because of the Lord's yoga mind. But Krishna is the controller of yoga maya. So he can never have bewilderment like this. He produces the yoga maya for everybody else, but he himself is beyond his power. Even the forms of the Lord are subject to bewilderment to some degree. But that is again spiritual potency. So all the different forms have their different pastimes with their devotees. This is subject to some sort of limitation. Mahavishnu is aware of certain things, but he's unaware of other things. He cannot fully appreciate the pastimes of Krishna. Even Balaram is subject to the same limitation. He's also under yoga maya of Krishna. So, during the whole Brahma Mohana Leela, Balaram also thought, "Oh, here's the calves and the cowherd boys, and we are playing together." When it actually was Krishna. But he didn't see that. He didn't notice it. He didn't know Krishna was playing a trick for 1 year. After 1 year, then he realized it looked a little strange because the calves were more attracted to the cows were more attracted to the calves than to their new calves that they had given birth that year. And the parents are more attracted to their children than ever before. So he thought, this is very strange. Then he thought a little bit. And he said, there is definitely something strange here. But it cannot be the Devatas. It cannot be the Asuras doing this. It cannot be the Rishis doing this. The only one that can bewilder me is Krishna. So then he looked very hard, and then he saw everything was Krishna. All the cowherd boys and the cows were Krishna. So, that goes to show that Krishna's yoga maya can bewilder even Balaram, what to speak of Vishnu forms and everybody else in the material world, all the jivas and jasidas. At yoga maya, now Krishna can do that, but Krishna is in control of that. So in this way, Krishna is especially anabhajyam. Even spiritual bewilderment, which isn't real bewilderment, that also is under the control of Krishna. It's also described here that the Lord is ananta param. He is beyond time, no beginning and no end, and param in terms of space. He is beyond the limitations of material space. He's not subject to the laws of this material world, which are limited by time and space. Everything is limited by time because of the beginning and an end, and it must operate through time. So we can define an object in terms of time. It began at this point, ends at this point, changes at this point. So we have time limitations, and then we have space limitations. Every object is limited by its size. It is maybe 3 feet across, or 10 feet across, or 20 feet across. Even the material universe may be quadrillion miles across, or whatever. There's some beginning and end to it in terms of height, width, length, whatever, volume. It's got certain limitations to it. But we cannot apply material time and space to the Supreme Lord. Nothing in the spiritual world is subject to time and space like this. And therefore, sometimes the Lord shows this in His Leelas. So, for instance, in Dwarka, which was an island off the Gujarat coast, Krishna had built 16,108 palaces there. And in those palaces, there were so many people. So if you calculate all the number of people in all the palaces and all the servants and all the queens and all the children and everyone else, we have a huge population squeezed into this one little space. We'll find in Vrindavan, we'll see a description of Krishna going out with the cowherd boys. How many cowherd boys are there? There's millions of them. And how many calves and cows are there? Millions and millions of them. How do they fit in Vrindavan? You know, they would cover all distance from, you know, Maharashtra to to Bihar. You know, you took all those cows and the cowherd boys and stuck them there. But yet they fit within Govardhan Hill, you know, all around Govardhan Hill or something like that. Every day Krishna takes them out and pulls them back and herds them and puts them in the cow sheds. They won't fit. And in the Rasa Leela there were 3 billion gopis. All hiding there in the forest, one forest of Vrindavan. And nobody knew about it. And they made a big circle, and Krishna expanded himself into 3 billion forms for each gopi. And they made a big circle. And it all fit within a little forest. How is it possible? So spatially, Krishna and his pastimes, or whatever, and his dhamma, beyond space, as we know, we cannot subject them to the same thing. Time. We hear that the Rasa Leela took place when the Sharak season came, the autumn season came, and the full moon came, and Krishna blew his flute
And then they began the Rasalila with 2 billion gopis in the middle of the night. But then when morning came, they all went back to their houses. So maybe 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock at night until 3 in the morning, they were having their Rasalila. So in 4 or 5 hours or whatever. But it is also described that during the Rasalila, Krishna extended the time for the night of Brahma, which is 4,300,000 years times 1,000. So for that length of time it went on, but that time fit within 4 or 5 hours of that night. So in spite of the fact that it went on and on and on for one night of Brahma, all that fit within the other time, and nobody noticed any difference. Krishna was there in the morning and everyone was there, and after 5 hours everybody was getting up in the morning, etc. So time also is Krishna's time is different from material time. He's not limited in the same way. So in this way, Krishna is anantaparam, beyond both space and time, and therefore his dhamma and his associates and his pastimes are all beyond the limitations of time and space as we know it. So if in the Bhagavatam we hear stories that may look improbable, there's nothing improbable about that, because it's not the material world, it's the spiritual world. It's beyond space and time as we know it. It's not the normal material world. It's something completely different. It looks like it, but it is completely different. So here is also mentioned that Krishna is sarvajñam, or all-knowing, and he is Ishwaram, the supreme controller, and he is akunta-vikunta-vishnyam. So he has a spiritual abode free from all restrictions and limitations. So sarvajñam and Ishwaram are words which can be applied to any form of the Supreme Lord. All the forms of even Paramatma we can call sarvajñam and Ishwaram, because Paramatma form pervades all things and witnesses all things in the material world. So Paramatma is sarvajñam, and the Paramatma also controls. Mahavishnu is Paramatma, glances over material energy and causes the whole material creation. Garbhadakshaya Vishnu produces Brahma, who produces the planets and the bodies of the living entities. So they are also Ishwaras. And when Mahavishnu wills it, then everything disappears and goes backwards from the elements. They merge into the higher, subtle elements. Subtle elements merge into Mahatattva. Mahatattva merges into Prakriti. Everything disappears. All by the will of Vishnu. So, this is Ishvara. He is the controller of creation and destruction. And, of course, this is described in the second canto, third canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, the creation of the Lord, how Mahavishnu glances and everything is created. So, he's got power. And 12th canto, and the canto after this, we'll see destruction is described and how everything goes backwards and goes from the gross to the more subtle, and then everything disappears finally by the will of Vishnu. So Vishnu is ultimately the destroyer. Even though sometimes we think of Shiva as the destroyer, but actually under the will of Vishnu. So therefore Vishnu is also Ishvara. That of course is a very general term for the Supreme Lord, and the same with these two terms, omniscient and all-powerful. So all forms of God will have that, you know, whether it is Muslim or Christian or Judaic or whatever. Everybody will agree God must have all knowledge and all powers. So it's true. It's also, we can say, a very basic thing. It's not the most advanced aspect of the Supreme Lord, because when we talk about Krishna, we don't even consider these things as the most important part of Krishna. Most important part of Krishna is his sweetness. He has the most wonderful pastimes. He has the most wonderful devotees. He plays the flute. He has the most wonderful beautiful form. What does it got to do with being omniscient and Ishvara? He has these, but he is much more than that also. But we should not think that therefore Krishna's Ishvara, the role of Ishvara and as the all-knowing God, is the same as everybody else's. Even that is superior.
His knowledge is superior and His power is superior. And how does Krishna show that? He is complete, so He must have everything in Him. Plus He has extra things in Him. And He will show these things, even in the highest form. So that, therefore, in Vrindavan, it would appear that because Krishna is showing His sweetness, and nobody's aware of His powers, and you know, the Vrajavasis don't see Krishna as God at all, as the all-knowing God, powerful God. They don't see Him like that. They see Him as their child. So how is it that Krishna, who's in Vrindavan, the highest form, how does He show and display greater powers and knowledge than all the other parts of God, when at the same time He's covering everything up and He acts as a small child? So, but it must be there, because He is complete. If He's lacking in all knowledge and all power, and He only has sweetness, then we cannot say He's Swayam Bhagavan, because Vishnu has something that He hasn't got. Vishnu glances and creates material, and Krishna doesn't do that. So therefore, something is lacking in Krishna. He cannot be called Swayam Bhagavan in that case. So Krishna must have both. He must have the sweetness, He must have the power also, and He should display that. We can say that even Mahavishnu or all the forms of God must have all the qualities in one sense, otherwise they cannot be perfect. But they don't display them. So if Krishna displays the sweetness but not the power, then that's displayed. Rama displays powers, not sweetness. So who's superior? So Krishna should do everything. If He is Swayam Bhagavan, He should display everything. Like the full moon displays full light, and the Chakradasi a little less, and the Triodis a little less. So Krishna should show all powers also in Vrindavan. So it is true, He does. But the power of sweetness, and the power of, or we can say, the power of the love of the Vrajavasis is so strong that they never see that. Even though He shows it, and they never see that, and they forget about it, or they make excuses for that, and they'll hide it. Their prema will overcome any show of powers. So for instance, Krishna showed Mother Yasoda that the whole universe is inside His stomach when He swallowed the dirt. And then Mother Yasoda looked in His mouth and she saw the whole universe there. She saw all the planetary systems from Brahmaloka to Patalaloka. She saw all the material, she saw all the data, she saw the mountains and the rivers and all the geography of Bhumandala there. She saw Raja there. She saw herself in there. She saw Krishna in there. She saw herself looking in Krishna's mouth even. And then that form, in that form, she saw it look in Krishna's mouth, and then saw another universe in there. So she saw universal form. So Krishna displayed, I am the source of all the universe. There, He had power. But Mother Yasoda looked away, and then she thought, maybe the demons are causing some problem here. Let's call the Brahmins and they can chant some mantras to drive the demons away. And then she forgot about the whole thing. And she said, Krishna's my son, I have to protect him from the demons. But she forgot everything. But Krishna displayed His powers, Ishvara. That one. But then Mahavishnu also is like that. He's the controller of the universe and the story also. But in the Brahma Mohana Lila, there Krishna showed to Brahma that He was the source of all the Vishnus who create all the universes. Because each of the forms of the cowherd boys and calves is in a Vishnu form. And each Vishnu was in charge of the universe. And all the devatas were there praying, etc. And Brahma was there also in each of those universes with that Vishnu. So in this way, Brahma understood that Krishna is in control of all the Vishnu forms, all the Garbhadakshaya Vishnus in each universe. He's the ultimate control. He's the control of Mahavishnu. So therefore His Ishvara status is more than Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, Shurdakshaya Vishnu, or Mahavishnu, or any form. So He showed more power to Brahma. So in this way, even in Vrindavan, Krishna shows He's Ishvara in a superior form than all the others, and He's Sarvajna more than the others, because He could bewilder even Lord Brahma, and He could bewilder even Balaram. So His Sarvajna, His his power of knowing everything was much more, because his yoga maya would cover up everybody else. So in this way, Krishna is definitely superior in display of qualities than any other form of the Lord. So he is Akunta Vikunta Vishnyam. He possesses an abode which is without Kunta restrictions. So it is in this way, Vikunta, Vaikunta, without restrictions, without problems, without material suffering, etc. Without disturbances. Of course, Vaikunta planets are there with Vishnu. Vishnu is also, we could say, Akunta, Vikunta, Dishnyam. He possesses an abode which is devoid of disturbances. The whole spiritual world is like that. It's described in the Brahma Samhita that yes, there is Hari Dhamma. We have Devi Dhamma and Mahesh Dhamma and Hari Dhamma. Mahari Dhamma is the whole spiritual world. But it's described at the beginning of the whole Brahma Samhita, before the prince of Brahma start there, it's described that there's a big lotus there. And the topmost place is the big lotus, which is Goloka. That's where Krishna resides. And in that lotus, there's the center, which is called Gokula. And Krishna's in the center there. So his abode also is distinguished from the other parts of the spiritual world. It's considered the special abode of Krishna. The other forms are not there. We don't see the Vishnu forms there in Gokul. There's only the Krishna form there. Though it is, it's all spiritual, this abode is very special. Why is it special? Because it looks like the material world. It doesn't look like Vaikuntha. Vaikuntha is full of nice palaces and jewels everywhere, etc. And Gokul looks like a forest with some pastures and some cow sheds and some cowherds running around herding cows. So it looks a little different from the regular Vaikuntha. So the regular Vaikuntha we think of as some glorious place full of all opulences and wealth and glory and gold and jewels and whatever. And there is Gokul, which is simply a country place with the river and the trees and the grass and the cows, cowherd people running around, and little boys running around. It is a very, very different place, this spiritual abode of Krishna. Uddhava is recognizing these special qualities of Krishna. And he calls Krishna Narayana. And Narasakam. So Narasakam comes from Nara, can mean the jiva. So he is the friend of the jiva, as Paramatma is the friend of the jiva. Of course, Narasakam can also mean the friend of Arjuna, because Nara Narayan is there, and Nara is Arjuna. So he can also refer to he is the friend of Arjuna, as that's Krishna. And Narayana. Usually we say Narayana means the form of Vishnu, who is the source of the protector of the jivas and the material world. That is the Vishnu forms. The Vishnu form is the shelter of all the jivas, Nara. But we know from the story at the very end of the 10th canto, there's a story of how Mahavishnu steals all the children of the Brahmana. And then Arjuna pledges, I will see who the thief is, because I'm a Kshatriya and I have to protect the Brahmanas. And then he stands there when the next child is born. Suddenly the child disappears and he runs around looking for it. Can't find the child anywhere. He goes to the end of the universe. He can't find the child anywhere in the whole universe. And he comes back defeated. And then he's about to commit suicide.
because he failed the Brahmana. He says, I'm not a Kshatriya, and I deserve to die because I couldn't protect the Brahmana. And then Krishna says, wait a minute. And then Krishna gives, they get a Krishna's chariot. And they go off beyond the universe, they go through the wall of the universe, and they go to the causal ocean, and then they see Vishnu there. And then Vishnu smiles and says, hello. I love your sons. Son of the Brahmana here. But so after this whole incident, Arjuna was wondering, this is very strange. How is it that Narayan had to do this? He is, you know, so powerful, etc. But how did he have to, why did he do this? Why did he have to go by the indirect means of stealing all the Brahmana's sons, which would be tormenting Brahmanas? And why would the Lord torment Brahmanas? Yeah, by stealing all the sons. So it's a very strange method of, you know, luring Krishna there. Huh? Why doesn't he just go down and work and say hello, Krishna, if you want to see him? Yeah. Then he thought about it for a while. He actually doesn't have the power to go to Dwarka. Even though, in one sense, you know, Mahavishnu is there and he's created all the universes, which are little specks in the part of his body, everything, millions of universes. But then he can, you know, they're so small. He can hold all the universes in his hand if he wanted to. So he could do anything, but he can't. Why? Because Krishna's more powerful than that Narayana form. And therefore he had to make this very special trick to get Krishna there. Because he cannot command Krishna, I want to see you, Krishna. If Krishna, if he wants to show himself, can show himself, and he doesn't, he cannot see him. So Arjuna took this as an instruction, indirect instruction, to show that Krishna was greater than all the Vishnu forms, including Mahavishnu. Yeah? So, yes, the Vishnu form is the shelter of all the jivas and whatever is Narayana, but Krishna is actually even the shelter of that Vishnu form. So he's the shelter of all forms, all the avatar forms, all the forms of God, all the jivas, all the material worlds, all the spiritual worlds, all under Krishna. So he's very, very special. So that is the nature of Krishna. He's separate from all the other forms of God. And Uddhava also realizes this.
You said that Krishna is not the Lord of his yoga mind, when the coward boys went to Darinath, other so that Krishna turned it in the wilderness.
Oh, when the cows were taken? That was pretending. He actually knew everything that Brahma was doing from the very beginning, actually. Now, there is a little bit of a thing with Krishna. Does he know everything? Because even Krishna looks like he's in suspense sometimes, you know, and Radha gets angry and leaves, and Krishna laments. Says, when will I attain her? And even when he separates from Krishna, then he's in Dwarka or Mathura or whatever, then he's also thinking, oh, the separation is there. And at the same time, as I explained, simultaneously Krishna is not separated, because there's two Vrindavans, one where Krishna goes away and goes to Mathura and Dwarka, the other one where Krishna goes back again from Mathura after he kills Kamsa and goes back. So simultaneously Krishna there in Vrindavan with the Vrajavasis, and another form Krishna is in Mathura and Dwarka, and another Vrindavan, the Vrajavasis are there lamenting Krishna's separate. So even Krishna seems to be lamenting separation, but actually he's also united with them in another form. So by the extraordinary power of Krishna, he can simultaneously take two identities, one in separation, one in difference. And we must accept that, because actually the form of Krishna and his pastimes is going on in all the universes, one after the other. And as soon as Krishna is born in one universe, he's born in the next universe, and born in the next universe, and born in the next universe, and born in the next universe, one after the other, like that. And then he disappears in one universe, disappears and disappears, like that. So his activities are going on in so many universes, one after the other. But he's just going on individually in that universe, and Krishna is identifying completely with those particular leelas. So, in combination with his various energies, inconceivable energies, he can do this and still be considered without bewilderment, even though he's identifying with each of his pastimes in his lilas. Oh, he's lamenting that also. Yeah. So, of course, in some cases, Krishna laments like this, but we should understand that actually he may do this just as a show in some cases also. This is a convention. Because if Krishna didn't lament with smiling, then everyone's going to criticize. What is Krishna? He has no affection for his father. Or his whatever. So therefore, he has to act according to convention in many cases as well. Although he actually knows that it's a trick. He can understand it's a trick. He acts according to convention.
Now, as you mentioned, the Kurukshetra was somewhere around about the middle of Krishna's life.
Yeah, I don't know the exact thing. It was probably a little later than middle.
Yeah,
a little later than middle. Yeah. There's a kind of a chronology there. Actually the end where we find at the end of the 10th canto where Krishna meets the Brajavasis, that is before the Kurukshetra War. Quite a bit before. And then it's, Vishnu or Jiva says actually that the solar eclipse occurred not too much after Krishna had gone to Dwarka, when he first went to Dwarka, which is, and Mathura, he was only there for a few years, so it was only a few years after he killed Kamsa, because even then they're referring to the incident of killing Kamsa when they're in Kurukshetra. So that happened quite early, actually. Even though it's at the end of the 10th canto, it happened quite early in the Dwarka Lila. And then after that, the Kurukshetra War took place, sometime after that. Because Krishna says, I still have to kill some demons, therefore I cannot go back to Raja. So after that, then the battle of Kurukshetra took place, and then he killed Dantavakra. He killed Dantavakra, and that was, Dantavakra was killed after the Kurukshetra War, after. And then he went back to Vrindavan, according to Padma Purana.
Because he had, at the time of Kurukshetra, he had grandchildren.
Kurukshetra, yeah, I think so. Which means you had to have a film pretty quick. In a few years. As if he has children, I don't know, grandchildren, he has children anyway, at that time.
Yeah,
because it mentions his
children. One makes it a show of children.
You mean that because Advaita Chakra? It's not really stated there that, for instance, with Arjuna, definitely it is stated that Arjuna was feeling reserved after that. Oh, please forgive me, Krishna, and that I treated you as a friend. So he was influenced, Arjuna. So that love of Arjuna was definitely not the same as Yasoda's love. Yasoda's love completely covered up everything. Arjuna's love didn't. Huh? So as for Advaita Acharya, I don't know whether it states anything after that when he saw the universal form. I would think because Lord Caitanya and Krishna are similar, there's a similar type of covering over of the things, because they also speak of him as, or think of him as covered avatar, so he's actually acting as a human being as well. And also Krishna with the same type of sweetness, but in a slightly different form, so therefore I think that would also cover up. And therefore they wouldn't see Lord Caitanya as the Lord at all times. That would interrupt their mood also. so they wouldn't see him in the same way.
Hare Krishna.